So good morning, everybody. Today I want to teach on propaganda. We here in the United States, for the most part, we don't really have news anymore. We have propaganda outlets. We've become like some of the banana republics in south of the border. Our elections are compromised. Our news media is compromised. It's pretty sad. There was something like this going on in the Old Testament. Let's go to Psalm 31. 37. I mean, Psalm 37. And it said, "Fret not thyself of evildoers, neither be thou envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb." Diane has this, we grow a lot of vegetables, and Diane has two of these things that are dryers. And we quite often dry some of our vegetables and herbs so we can use them later. And that's what this is talking about. The evildoers, they just get dried up. And there's nothing, not much left, but just little crumbly leaves. "Trust in the Lord and do good, and thou shalt dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." See, God will take care of us. The government is not our salvation. The Republican Party is not our salvation. The Democrat Party is not our salvation. None of those guys. Let's go to 2 Timothy. Chapter 2, verse 26. And what happens is when there's sometimes Christians will vote for people that don't really have their best interest at heart. And this is sort of what's going on here. This is not talking about election, but that they may be recovered, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive. Oops, I'm reading 26. I just got to read 25 first, sorry. "In meekness instructing those that impose themselves." See, sometimes believers will vote for, they maybe get attached to a certain political party, and they may vote for a certain candidate because they might like them or something, and sometimes those candidates or those political parties don't have their best interest at heart. And they oppose themselves. But God wants them, verse 26, to recover themselves from the snare of the devil so we're not taken captive by him. Let's go to John 10:10. Gospel of John. Here's a verse we've all heard of before. "The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus Christ came that we might have life and have it more abundantly." So when you see voter fraud, when you see lying with propaganda, you know, that's not coming from God. You know, those people that are doing that stuff, they are not working for the one true God. Let's go to Acts chapter 8. So Acts chapter 8. You know, we sometimes think we are countries in having problems now with all this stuff going on. Well, this is a time where this guy Saul, who later became the Apostle Paul, Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea, Samaria, except for the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, they were that were they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. And Philip went down to Samaria, the city of Samaria, and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed to those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which Philip did. And they kicked out, verse 7, a lot of unclean spirits, and people were possessed and got healed. And verse 8, and there was great joy in that city. See, we can't let the devil steal our joy. He's always trying to pull something. And what we're living through isn't near as bad as this. I haven't had people break into my home and try to throw me in prison for doing a home fellowship. See, the problem is, it goes back to when in 1 Samuel, when the people wanted a king. 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 7. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people, and that they, what they say to thee, for they have not rejected you, Samuel, they have rejected me, the Lord God, that I should not reign over them. That's when he's talking about having a king. You go through this whole chapter 8 here, in chapter 7 before it, he's going on. It enumerates multiple things why you shouldn't have a king. And most of the kings they had were pretty bad. It's like in the United States, most of our presidents are pretty bad. Democrats and Republicans. Most of them are just not good at all for us. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 17. One of the worst kings they ever had, there was this guy called Ahab, and his wife was Jezebel. In chapter 17, verse 1, God told Elijah he had to go confront Ahab. So Elijah said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years according to my word. And then Elijah had to go hide himself because the king wanted to kill him. It was, he had to hide out for his life. And then later we see in Kings 18, they had that thing where the prophets of Baal built the altar and they couldn't get God to answer. And then Elijah built the altar and he got God to answer. And sometimes people, they say, well, this problem is so big, what can I do? I mean, we literally had voter fraud, hundreds of thousands of votes in multiple states. This is unprecedented to have voter fraud at this level. And people say, well, what can I do? You know, I'm just one person. Well, we all need to speak up. And we all need to stand. Let's go to 1 Samuel back there, chapter 17. And this is something I've covered before, maybe a year or two ago. I don't remember the exact time. And 17:4. And they were set to do this war. And they went out in the field, and it was the Philistines and the Israelites. And the Philistines sent out their champion. They had this guy, we've all heard of him, Goliath. And he'd go out there, and he was like a lot bigger than the normal person. And he had this guy that would walk before him carrying his shield, and he was just huge. And everybody looked at him, and they think, oh my God, he's so big, we can't take him down. The Goliath, every day he'd go out there and he'd challenge him, said, come get me. I always think of Andre the Giant. You ever seen that movie, Princess Bride? And Andre the Giant's in it, and he's got this deep voice, and he was also on the WWF or WWE or whatever that is. I'm not a wrestling fan, so I don't know. But, you know, I think of like that, and he's out there every day saying, come get me, and all the Israelites are saying, oh, I'm afraid, I'm shaking in my boots. And he's saying, come get me, you dogs. And he's out, and every day they're doing this. And so David shows up. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant shall go fight this Philistine. And Saul looked at him, and he's just a little guy, you know, maybe about 5'4", 5'6", and he's young, and he didn't know how to use armor, he didn't know how to use a shield and all that stuff, but he was really good with a sling. He had a sling, and he put a stone in it, and he was actually able to kill lions and bears with this. And it was not that different from, actually you can get, nowadays you can get air guns. They're not firearms, but they shoot pellets with a burst of compressed air. And you can get those kind of things that'll take down a deer or a bear. And so he would swing this thing, and they use a stone, if you can see my hand here, maybe about this big. So it was like, maybe a 100 caliber bullet. And it'd swing this thing, and it would... And when you swing that, it gets close to the speed of sound. And when you hit that much mass, hit something, it's deadly. And so David he was smaller and he was faster, and he could just stand at a distance and whip stones in on this guy and take him out. And he knew it was no big deal, because he had no chance if he went in and fought the guy hand to hand, because the guy was twice his size. So... But it's interesting, when people get that big, then they usually have physical problems. There's a disease, I forget the exact name of the disease, but gigantism is the colloquial term. There's a medical term, and I'm not a medical doctor, so I don't remember all that stuff, but it's called, we call it giantism. It's basically the pituitary gland malfunctions, and they continue to grow, and they can get 8, 10, 12, sometimes even 14 feet tall. But they have a very short lifespan. They get high blood pressure, they get diabetes, they become very nearsighted, and they have a lot of health problems. But they're big and they're strong. And so if David went in and fought him, you know, like hand to hand, he'd have no chance. But being that big and that strong gave him a unique set of weaknesses that he was ill-equipped to take on David. And so God won't put us in a situation that we can't handle. You're never tempted by anything beyond what you can handle. And I've done another teaching and taught this several times about how God always makes a way out. No matter what happens, we always have a way out. And so there is a way out of this, you know. And remember also Sodom and Gomorrah. God said he wouldn't destroy the city if there was, 20 or 15? Mm-hmm. And there's thousands.
And I wanted to just, if I can say something, I want to iterate back about David and Goliath. The thing about Goliath is he looked very formidable. But because of his weaknesses, he really wasn't all that strong. And same with what's going on here right now. The situation we sometimes find ourselves in, and in particular this voter situation, it looks very formidable. Like, how can we possibly win against this? But there are a lot of weaknesses there. The fraud has been found out. There's just a lot of weaknesses. So we can't allow ourselves to look at the situation and say, oh my God, how are we going to ever get out of this? Because it's not as bad for us. It's not something that is undefeatable for us. It's certainly not undefeatable for God. And so with God's help, just like David had God's help, he defeated Goliath. We can defeat our Goliaths too easily with God's help. So we can have a merry heart. Like David, he didn't go in there with fear. He went in there with enthusiasm. And yeah, God's going to help me fight this guy, and we're going to save Israel. We're going to save our country.
And we have to, because if we don't fight, it's not a matter of being a Democrat or a Republican or a Libertarian or Green Party or whatever. They had somebody on the Colorado ballot that ran for president that had like 5 names, and it went on like, it was like, I can't even pronounce them all. I mean, it was just like, and they got like 364 votes for president.
Is that the one that was Princess something?
Yes. Yeah, that was it, Princess something, right, yeah. And they got 364 votes. And so, you know, God bless them. You know, they have the right to run. Yeah. It's a free country. But unless if you live in foreign, like if you lived in the Soviet Union, what used to be the Soviet Union, they had a newspaper called Pravda. Pravda translated into English means truth. And it was no truth in it. Everybody knew it was false. And remember when we had that war when George H. Bush was president and we were invading Iraq? And they had that guy we call Baghdad Bob. He was the Minister of Information for the Iraqi government. And they show video with tanks and planes going in and all this stuff. And he'd get on TV and said, there's no war here. Nobody's attacking. You know, it was just propaganda. And if you go to China, nobody believes the news. And they don't believe the government because they know it's false. And unfortunately, a lot of Americans still think this is the 1950s and we got Walter Cronkite. He's going to come on and tell us the truth. And maybe Walter Cronkite was lying back then, too. Hi, Christine.
And also, this isn't about a presidential election. It's about the integrity of our voting system. It's about our constitutional republic is at stake here. And so it's more than just a presidential election. You know, we have a chance to stand against the corruption that's been going on for decades and decades and decades. Basically, the party of the left seems to think that they don't even have to run a viable candidate or even campaign because in the end they'll just count enough votes to get them in. And that cannot be allowed to continue to happen for either side. We have to have integrity in our voting system. And so that's basically the fight is it's more than just a presidential election. It's not like, oh, we'll just let this go and 4 years from now we'll have another chance. No, we won't have another chance because if this is allowed to stand, we have no integrity in our voting system again.
Well, it's like Venezuela. They got a communist socialist dictator. They had an election. Other guy won like 75% of the vote, but the guy that was in power said, no, I won the election. This is what it is.
And all these news media, all of our elected officials, the corrupt politicians, everyone who is saying to us, oh, Joe Biden is the president-elect, it's a lie. They have no right, the news media and our elected officials have no right to come out and say who won the election. That's up to the Electoral College, and the states have to call it, and they have not. So this election is far from over, and they cannot call an election until the votes are all verified, especially if it's contested.
Yeah.
And so people don't believe the lies that Biden is our president-elect. He is no such thing at all.
So Trump won Arizona, Trump won Nevada, Trump won Georgia, Trump won Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Michigan.
Carolinas.
He won all those, but what happened is you notice they stopped counting the votes, and then they, at 8 o'clock at night or something like that, and then all of a sudden, 3 in the morning, these vans show up with just enough votes to put them over. And they all are all Biden votes.
Every single one.
And so and that's why they had those mail-in ballots. They just mailed out, you know, thousands, if not millions of them.
If they even mailed them at all.
So basically, we have to stand. I didn't finish what was going on here with Goliath.
Okay.
I got two more verses here. Let's go to verse 40. And he took his staff in his hand, and he chose 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and he put them in the shepherd's bag that he had, and he got his sling, and he drew near the Philistine. And then in verse 51, you know, they had the battle. He swung, you know, knocked him, took him down. In verse 51, therefore David ran, stood upon the Philistine, took out the sword, and drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him, and cut off his head therewith, and he won. And so God will make us prevail. You know, remember I was reading out of Acts chapter 8 earlier. They lived in a time where they were under the Roman Empire. You know, the Roman Empire was a godless, evil empire, but you know what? That was even better. The Jewish Sanhedrin was even more evil and more corrupt, because the Roman Empire, they were just pagans who worshiped, you know, dozens of pagan gods and could care less about Jesus Christ and the one true God. But the Sanhedrin, they were actually seed of the serpent guys that were would have been more evil than the Romans. And it was just terrible. But even then, there was great joy, and they moved the word. So let's go. I got two more sections here. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. This is an epic section of scripture here. Chapter 8, starting in verse 31. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, isn't he also going to give us freely all things? I'm paraphrasing a little bit. Who's going to lay anything to the charge of God's elect? God that justifies? Who's condemning us? Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who's even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us? Who's going to separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword, voter fraud, propaganda. You know, none of that's going to separate us from the love of Christ. For it is written, for thy sake we're all killed all the day long. We're accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Oh, yeah. The world's going down the tubes. It's too late. Our system's so corrupt. We have no news anymore. We don't have any fair elections. We're going down the tubes. The tubes are greased. We're all just going to die a miserable, terrible death. Woe's me. No! In all these things, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, even if they kill us, even if we get killed doing this, if you get killed, the next thing you know is the return of Christ. So even in death, there's victory. Death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor Democrats, nor bureaucrats, or Republicans, or crooked voters, or crooked newscasters, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of Christ, which is love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we're going to win one way or another. God will take care of us. Because the devil, he's always pulling something. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. He keeps trying, but he keeps losing. You know, once in a while he'll win a small victory, but in the end, his end is the lake of fire. What's that old saying? Anytime the devil reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. So, chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. See, God gave us armor. He gave us tools. He gave us things to fight back with. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. See, this we see it manifested in crooked elections and in propaganda news media. And we see it manifested in a lot of things like that. But the real thing is, the author of all this is Satan. It's principalities and powers against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. It repeats what it just did there in verse 11. You know, when God says it twice, he means it. You know, I don't want you to miss this, so I'm going to turn around and say it again just a couple verses later. That you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand. See, that's what we do. We stand. We speak up. You know, what did you do this morning, Diane? Tell what you did. You sent that letter.
Oh, I sent a letter to the Supreme Court justices. On my Facebook page, there's a link to it. Because eventually this is probably going to end up at the Supreme Court. basically that we humbly demand justice in this situation, that we do not have a constitutional republic unless we have fair and free voting. And then I named all the different instances of things that are happening, that have happened about the voter fraud. And then I asked them to please do their constitutional duty to rule on this in a constitutional way. And then I thanked them for their service. So, you know, if you want, you can go to my Facebook page, Diane Rath, and on it, I do have a link to the Supreme Court Justice website, and you can write them a letter. But be kind, and because we don't want people ranting at our wonderful justices, but we go before them humbly and demand that we have our justice as American citizens. They have to rule in our favor. They have to rule according to the Constitution. And this voter fraud is against the Constitution of the United States of America. So that's one thing you can do if you want.
And it's interesting. There's three justices that are sitting on that court now. One of them, who's the...
Clarence Thomas,
is the guy that Joe Biden went after viciously back in the 80s and tried to keep him from getting appointed.
And accused him of sexual misconduct.
All sorts of false accusations. And then there's two that are currently put on there that were attacked viciously by Kamala Harris. So
Kavanaugh and Amy Barrett.
Yeah. Well, I don't like to call her Kamala. I call her Camel Ass.
Well.
But,
Not that they do retribution, but...
Well, it's payback.
And it's also about our religious freedom, too, because if the other side gets in, they're going to continue to take away and whittle away at our right to peacefully assemble, our right to have fellowships in our home, our right to go to church. They're going to whittle away at those things, our right to defend ourselves, our right to free speech. This cannot happen.
Well, what they want is they want to take away our guns, defund the police, defund the military, open the border, and see what happens.
Mm-hmm. And if America had truly voted for that, because America, we get what we vote for. If America had truly voted for that, then I guess you got to suck it up and say, well, that's what the people want, just like in the Old Testament when they wanted a king and God said, no, you don't. And they said, yes, we do. So God gave them what they wanted. But in this case, Trump clearly won the election. And that's what the people want. People have turned to God. They want this president to continue to have our freedoms. And the left is trying to steal that from us. So that's why we fight. That's why we stand against this.
So let me finish my verses here. We got going. Good spirited discussion. And have your verse 15. Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, take the shield of faith, whereby you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then here, verse 18, this is important. Praying. We need to pray about this stuff. Some of you guys know I've taught how to pray before. I mean, I love what Dr. Werwell taught us in that old ministry that a lot of us were part of. But one of the mistakes he made is he kind of ignored the Lord's Prayer. And then the average Christian church will just repeat it mindlessly. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. But mumble, 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 mumble. And there's no meaning and there's no heart. And in there, you read that section of scripture and Jesus Christ taught, he says, don't do meaningless repetitions. But what he says is, first, it's our Father who art in heaven. We acknowledge God and his mightiness.
It's a template.
And it's a template. You know, when you start a Word document, you use a template. When I work in architecture, and we start, it's really important to have a good template to start our construction drawings for a building. So what's the next thing it says? Give. Well, what's the word give? It's a command. We don't go to God and beg, oh, God, please, if you got a little bit of time, I'm suffering here. I haven't eaten in 3 days. Can you throw me a crumb of stale bread? No, we say, give us this day our daily bread. Give us what we need. And what we do is we go to God and we say, God, give me what I need. And we need freedom. We need prosperity. We need things so we can speak the word. God wants us to speak the word, so God will give us a free country so we can speak the word. You know, it's interesting when they did all this shutdown with this coronavirus. You know, they said, well, first of all, they came out and they lied, again, propaganda. They said it's going to kill 5 or 10 or 15% of the population. Well, it turns out 0.5% actually die. And then if you really work out, I basically did the math, and for somebody like me that's healthy and I'm taking my vitamin D and my vitamin C and my zinc and other things, I basically have less than a one in a million chance of dying. But yet they want to shut this down. If we give the enemy the entrance into this, he'll shut us down for 10 years. And what do they shut down first? They shut down churches. Oh, your liquor store is open. Your place that sells the marijuana, they're open. You can have an Antifa protest and burn down things and riot. That's open.
Well, the fire probably kills all the virus. So
maybe that's true. But your church, oh no, we don't want you to do that. Actually, I have a friend of mine, used to be next door neighbor, and they go to a church in Englewood, she said, and they said it's mask-free and we meet every Sunday, and it's a big church. So they basically flipping the big middle finger to our governor, our worthless governor. I'm getting kind of crude here, but sometimes you gotta to make a point. You gotta say things, and profanity is a figure of speech. And if you are like some comedians. And every other word is the F word this, F word this, F word this, F word. Then it becomes meaningless. But if you occasionally use something, it can give emphasis to something. And so God's called us to stand. And anyway, I was talking about what used to be my next door neighbor, Becky. And she has a wonderful husband and 3 wonderful kids. And they now live just a couple miles down the road. They're still in this area. But she texted me on Facebook, and she said, it made me cry when I first read this. Now I got to say this without getting too emotional, but she said, isn't this a wonderful time to be alive? And it is, because we have a challenge. We have a fight. We have a cause. And this is just an amazing time. And we get to see God work and God bear his mighty arm and back down the adversary on our behalf. What more could you want in life? Back in 1974, I had my first fellowship, and we were a bunch of young kids, all about 20 years old. And I had rather long hair, not the short stuff I got now. It was not as gray as it is now. I had a wonderful young man, and we called it a lift list. Basically, it was a list of people that we prayed for. On this, he said he'd go through his list, and then he'd doubt that he really prayed well and believed well, so he'd go through it again. And then he still doubted that he did it well, and then he said, and so I said, Bobby, just pray and believe. Don't worry about, it's not works, just pray and do your best and don't worry about it. You know, it's not how good at praying we are or how good at believing we are, but for some reason God wants how he works in things is God could just do everything without us. But for some reason, he wants, in order to accomplish things, he wants us to act, and then he backs it up. And part of how he wants us to act is we need to pray Part of it is we need to believe. Part of it is we need to speak. Part of it is we need to stand. And I don't understand why God set it up that way, but, you know, I'm not almighty. I'm not even mighty. I'm just average. But you know what? We as average people, through God and through the power of God, we can be mighty. Yeah. By the five senses, I'm just ordinary. You know, I just have a job and I come home and, you know, and I eat supper and go to bed. And, you know, it's, but with God, we can accomplish amazing things. Just a handful of people can overturn world events. A few people, and there's a lot more than a few of us. We can change history.
Yeah. We are not alone in this. There are Christians of all makes and models, whatever, that are praying fervently unto God. And I got to think right now, if God had, what do you call it, voicemail, it would be overwhelmed. Really? But he's God Almighty.
It never comes up. His inbox is full. It's never full.
And so, you know, I was walking and talking with God one day, and I was just, you know, calling upon him to just behold the situation. And then I just got the, I don't know if it was God talking to me or just whatever my thought was like the woman who went to the one guy. She was a poor woman, and she kept praying for bread or something. She goes, "Help me, help me, help me." And the guy was getting so sick of hearing her. And finally he said to his servants, "Just go give her what she wants. I'm so sick of her complaining to me." And God says we should pray like that. Right. Keep going to God, and he's going to just say, "Oh, all right, already. I'm just going to make it happen because I'm just overwhelmed. I can't hear you anymore. Shut up." But, of course, God's not a human like I am. He doesn't get frustrated with us. I think God is so delighted right now to hear us calling upon him for him to work a mighty work. Because now he and his angels, they can go in and maybe kick ass, you know. And we are not alone. God is on our side here, because I really do believe that this isn't just this isn't just Democrats against Republicans. This is a clear battle that the American people have spoken for freedom, for their religious liberties, for all their liberties. They've spoken, and they have won that, and it's being stolen from us. And we're being manipulated to believe that that's what happened, and we cannot allow it. And so we are not alone. We're going to hang in there, and I believe in the end we are going to be victorious. And I believe in the end, in January, we're going to see Donald Trump and Mike Pence being inaugurated for a second term. I really believe that.
Well, even if we don't, and we get, you know, dipshit and numbnuts, God will still take care of us.
That's right.
So our sufficiency is not the president. Our sufficiency is not the American government. Our sufficiency is God. But we do have to stand against the corruption. Because corruption, left alone, doesn't get better. It gets worse. So we have to stand against lies. We have to stand against corruption. We have to stand against propaganda. That is... I put on my Facebook something about... I tried to go 1776 with this. I said, I've dedicated my life, my energy, and my sacred honor to opposing the corruption in the Democrat Party and the voter fraud and the propaganda that we're seeing. And I can't do a lot on my own. Like I said, on my own, I'm just kind of average Joe. But with God, I can do mighty things. You know, David was just an average guy. He wasn't anything, you know. They looked at him and he said, "He's ruddy. He didn't even shave yet. He couldn't even grow a full beard." And he was the youngest that they sent. "Oh, just we don't know what to do with him. Have him go watch the sheep." You know, and when he watched the sheep, all day long he'd get bored. You ever had to watch animals? It gets boring. You know, and so what he'd do is he'd play with his sling. He'd say, "Oh, I'm gonna set that. See that tree? It's 20 yards away. I bet I can hit it right there in the middle." Bang! He'd hit it every time. He got really good at it. He had a skill. And, you know, God will... We have people... Trump's team's hired over 50 lawyers. They've got skill set that we don't have. They've got over 50 whistleblowers that have pointed out specific things of corruption.
On top of videos and telephone calls.
And that's just what we found. And who knows when you start digging what you're going to find. And when these people that have done this, it's 10 years in federal prison if you get caught with voter fraud. So there's got to be thousands of people that are shaking in their boots like, I don't want to go to federal prison. That's hard time. You know, it's not the local jail where they put, you know, catch you and release you. You're in there, and you're in there for a long time.
It's, and if they deem it as traitorous, they go to Gitmo.
Yeah. So, anyway, it's 12 o'clock. We're going to break for lunch here. You know, you guys on the line, you can eat whatever you want. And we're going to have some hamburgers on the grill.
Come on over.
Yeah. Well, Kelly's close enough. He could pop over.
But anyway, we love you guys. Thank you so much.
And I'm going to have a word of prayer here.
Yep.
So, Father, bless the food. And, Father, just bless our efforts. Father, let truth prevail. Let justice prevail. Give us honest news media. Give us honest elections. And expose the fraud. Expose the crookedness. Expose the evil. Bring forth more whistleblowers. And, Father, just keep this country free that we can... that we can live as we want, we can pursue whatever makes us happy, we can have the freedom to speak the word and do home fellowships, and no government tells us what we can do and can't do. And Father, keep it that way in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.